The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Pension funds, insurance capital, indigenous investors. And this very subject matter we are discussing, we just want to explore how we can deepen local participation. And of course, helping us to do just that is the Managing Director of PetroTrust Company Limited, Kofi Fane, and he's been speaking and explaining all that we need to know in this ecosystem largely for us. And I just want us to continue with the rest of our discussion, Kofi.
Yes.
Now, how much will it cost for an individual, let's say an average person, listening to us to invest in equity?
It costs nothing. Really, as an individual, you know, the different kinds of products that are out there cater for different kinds of people, right? So we've been talking about institutional capital. What that means is that we as organizations, as institutions, are managing billions of dollars and deploying it in the market. But this is money we collect from people. In our mutual funds that we distribute through our broker, for example, the minimum investment that we ask for is 10 Ghana cedis. So with 10 Ghana cedis, you can participate in what we're doing. You can invest in a mutual fund, and that mutual fund is then investing in all of these things that we've talked about, both private and public. So yes, individuals can participate at any level. If you're an institution, you can as well more directly.
All right. With that said, many ordinary people hear about pension funds and insurance money, right? But do not see how to connect to business growth. How does that money eventually reach companies and jobs?
Okay. So pension funds and insurance companies collect the money at scale. Today, or up to date, what we've done is we've given it significantly, like I said, to the government and to banks for them to deploy it into the real economy. Working with GVCA and with private equity, venture capital and private debt funds in Ghana, we're beginning to provide capital to them for them to now engage with companies of different sizes who have capital needs that are a little bit longer than banks can provide, so that those companies can be funded. There are a number of private equity and venture capital funds that have been set up. There are private debt funds that have been set up. There are real estate investment trusts that have been set up, and they are all active. And if you go to GVCA, I'm sure you can provide some detail about how companies can get in touch with GVCA. They can give them a list of companies that are doing this for them to interact with and for them to engage. But companies that need money from private equity, venture capital, which is where institutions like us are investing in, need to be prepared. And I think that's a key part of why some of the transmission mechanisms have not worked as well as they have. On the supply side, which is our side, the vehicles have been put in place. Regulation is accommodating. And I think this is something that we can continue to grow. On the demand side for companies, there's quite a bit of work that needs to be done for companies to prepare themselves to accept this kind of capital. Right. And I think that's a very important piece that we cannot ignore.
So really, what kind of businesses are right for equity?
For equity, for private
equity.
For private equity, private debt. The key problems that I think a lot of Ghanaian businesses face right now would be sort of transparency and governance. Okay. We had a term a few years ago when an eminent man said, "Sikam pedidi," right?
Yeah.
And that applies to institutional capital as well. If you're a company that is properly governed, there are very clear rules and responsibilities. Board of directors is set up. You make good decisions. There are very clear processes in place. You know, the owners do not treat the company like it is their piggy bank.
Yeah,
it is not a company where family just comes and goes, but there are people who are employed, capable, operating with good principles, bank accounts, audited accounts. That kind of company has set itself up to engage with institutional capital, because those are questions that will be asked, right? If it is not clear how you make money as a company, if it is not clear that that money is treated with the respect that it should be in making sure the company grows, you will not be appropriate for institutional capital. And so any company that wants to do this really has to prepare itself in this way. I'll give an example.
All right, feel free.
A lot of companies in Ghana say they want to reduce taxes. Mm. And so they'll find ways to reduce their profits, however they do it. But by doing that, it means that you will not be seen as a good candidate because your profits are low, or maybe you're making losses.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You're shooting yourself in the
foot. Yeah.
You have decided that I would rather have income at my level than be able to attract capital to grow from one small indigenous company to a large company that is listing on the Ghana Stock Exchange. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen two large indigenous companies go on the Ghana Stock Exchange. They all started small, but they prepared themselves, did the right things, made the right decisions, engaged with proper auditors, solid management. If family had a role, family's role was very clear, and they had performance targets as well, right?
Yeah.
And you put all of those things in place. Now they are listing on the stock exchange. They went from not having a lot of money to being multimillionaires. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens with this kind of discipline. And every company, every leader of a company who's listening needs to think about this. Do I need the income that I'm getting by not paying the taxes and hiding what I'm doing? Or do I want to show the income so I can raise capital to accelerate my growth? Do I want to be able to come in and just take money out of the kitty because I want to buy a new car?
Mm.
Or do I want to be able to build a company that can go to Nigeria and compete, for example? That's the question that companies should be asking themselves. And if they're ready to do that, the capital is available.
And Kofi, I know you are well vexed when it comes to private equity, but what have you gathered as to the reason why most Ghanaian institutions and investors do not back local companies?
Oh, Ghanaian institutions and investors do.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Regardless of the macroeconomic environment, yes. What have you?
Yes, they do. Banks are lending to companies all the time, right?
Yeah.
And they're all local companies. The companies might say this is not appropriate or the rates are high, but banks are taking the risk, okay? Bank risk has a certain profile. They'll ask you for collateral. And so if you don't have an asset, you'll say, hey, they're not giving me money because I don't have a house to put up. That's the kind of capital banks have. If you come to a venture capital company, they'll look at things differently. They'll look at your potential, they'll look at your cash flows, they'll look at your expertise, and they'll manage their risk a different way without asking for collateral, right? So institutions locally will back indigenous companies.
Which then means that if they do, we have investable Ghanaian businesses, or really do businesses also need to shape up to attract?
Businesses need to shape up. But and it's becoming.
What would it take for us to do that?
It takes the discipline of the management and leadership and the ownership to say, we have grand ambitions. We want to grow to be national champions eventually, right?
Mm.
And we want to do it at a pace that is competitive. And so we're going to make ourselves attractive to receive capital.
All right.
That process is extremely important, but it takes a desire for an entrepreneur to say, look, this is the path that I want to go on. The good thing is that we're seeing examples, especially this year, last year, we're seeing examples of companies that have done that and have shown that success. And sometimes all we need are good examples for us to know that it is possible. So Zen Petroleum did its listing a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Casa Preco just opened its offer. Those are examples. All Ghanaian companies that are out there should look at those examples and know that it is possible.
All right.
The capital is available.
All right.
And if they make themselves ready, it will work for them.
Kofi, I want you to be practical as possible for me, as practical as possible for me. At what stage should a business begin processing or preparing for investment, even before it starts seeking money? Really?
Right from the very beginning. right from the very beginning. And I think all of us, especially coming from the GVC, from the institutional investor base, even from the banks, should start telling our corporate customers and clients what it takes for them to go on that journey from the very beginning. If you set up and you have a board of directors that doesn't meet to discuss the company, you should know that, you know, you need to do some work around it if you have ambitions. If you want to remain an SME, small, in your little corner, you don't need to put yourself under all of that discipline. But any company that has ambitions to grow should put those things in place. Make sure you have an auditor. Make sure you file your audited accounts every year. Make sure that you're working on being profitable. Yes, taxes, we all know. Taxes are painful to pay, right?
Yeah.
But if you can show growth in your earnings, then somebody can look at you and say, this is a serious company, even from when you start small, and we can go ahead and do something with them. Right.
All right, let's talk more about the SME now. So for you, what do you think are some of the common mistakes they do make when trying to attract investment?
I think a lot of the time, by the time they come to investors to have a conversation, a lot of those decisions that have made in the past are already baked in. And sometimes it is very hard for you then to correct and to fix. So if I've been under declaring profits for 5 years, how do I all of a sudden now start declaring the right profits so that I can be attractive? Because somebody's going to ask you, can I see the last 3 years and what you've done, right? So the mistake, I think, is that we're not thinking far enough, long enough. Look, I cannot blame people because business is hard.
Mm.
And the less you pay the tax man, for example, the more you have to run your business,
yeah.
Especially because you need, given the volatility, you need buffers and stuff like that. But if you really want to grow, you just need to do the right things, you know. And you start early, it's painful, but that discipline will eventually pay off.
And the discipline will eventually pay off, you say. But again, what makes a business attractive to local investors beyond just the idea itself?
Business is structured, management is competent, has a good culture. It's showing growth. It's showing, it doesn't even have to show profits, right? It's showing growth. It's showing that it is able to continue to compete, to gain market share. It knows what it's doing. And the decision-making in that company is disciplined. Those things, companies will look at and say, we can back it. If you're not profitable, for example, a venture capital investor can still look at you. Petra is an example. Petra Trust, where I work, is an example of a company that has benefited from private equity. We have shareholders who are private equity investors. And when our first private equity investor came into the company, we were not profitable yet. In fact, we were not profitable for years after that, right?
Yeah.
But they could see the discipline in the company, the governance in the company, the growth trajectory and the opportunity, and they backed us, right? So if anybody wants an example of how this works, we have walked the talk.
Yeah.
We have just not been this. We are a real example of living testimony. Absolutely. Mm. And we started in 2011 as a company. Yeah, it's not like we've been doing this forever.
I see.
Right?
I see.
So yeah, it's possible.
But many people think that pension funds are only supposed to be safe and conservative, largely. How realistic is it for pension money to be part of business growth financing, largely?
That's a very good, very, very good question, Pius. So, you know, the key element of risk management in any investment portfolio is diversification, right? And what that means is that you don't put your eggs in one basket. So, you know, you understand that when you take a risky position, there's the potential for high return,
yeah,
but there's risk around it. You just have to make sure that it's not going to destroy your entire portfolio. If you get up and you put 50% of your portfolio in private equity, private debt, or in one company, you're asking for trouble. Mm. That one is betting. That one is not investing, right?
Yeah.
So you diversify, you have different kinds of risks, different kinds of tenors, different kinds of asset classes, and you make sure that you're managing all of them, that they are not correlated. And so when one is doing poorly, the chances are that another is doing well. And you manage that kind of portfolio over time, right? So you've got to mix it up. But there is room in pension portfolios for the kind of risk that private equity and private debt provides.
And even before we take the break, Kofi, I just want you to
give us some highlights by way of safeguards which are needed to ensure that pension and insurance capital are invested responsibly.
Okay. So the first, like I said, is diversification. You just make sure that your investment policies ensure that you're diversified along multiple lines. And this, for us, for example, starts from the guidelines that our regulator provides for us. We cannot invest more than 5% of our capital in one company. Right? So even if I invest in a company, the company goes bankrupt. That's 5% of capital. Can we earn it back with other instruments? Yes. Right? So that's the first thing. The second thing, expertise. This is not a game for novices or laymen. People, you know, a lot of people go to the stock market and think, oh, I'm just going to buy a stock. I hear it's going up. We're very, very quick to hear somebody say, oh, this stock is doing well, and then follow it, and then wonder why the investment didn't work well. There's work that goes into it. There's an understanding of the company's finances, its operations, its governance, its market prospects, the industry in which it operates, the competitive dynamics, what the macroeconomy does to the company. If currency goes one way or another, is that going to affect the way the company is looked at, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
A lot of investors in this country, for example, in their defensive portfolios, will try to look at companies that have some kind of FX hedge, given the kind of country we're in. That's an example of expertise that goes into this investment decision making. So you start with a structure that forces you to diversify, and then you use expertise to go into the detail to pick the right investments, build a portfolio, manage your risk, generate your return, make your members happy.
All right. Mind that you're still listening to Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM. And of course, we are discussing private equity in Ghana, unlocking domestic capital for growth. And we want to take a quick breather. We'll be right back with more.
Your favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session. And you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy997FM or at JoyBusinessGH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-111997, and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM. A quick message is from our partners, and hello CEOs. Ghana's foremost thought leadership conference proudly marks a decade of shaping business and economic transformation. Join us at the 10th Ghana CEO Summit and Expo on Thursday, 28th May 2026 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the prestigious Kempinski Hotel Gold Coast City, Accra. And this milestone edition is themed Accelerating Ghana's Economic Transformation, Driving Bold Reforms Through Leadership, Technology and Industrialization from Vision to Action. His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, President of the Republic of Ghana, will attend as special guest of honor and officially launch the CEO Government Compact 2026. Now, the summit highlights include Presidential CEO Business Dialogue, CEO Masterclasses and Business Case Panels, CEO Connect and Corporate Expo, Ghana CEO Excellence Awards Gala, CEO Government Compact 2026 launch. Now, be part of the conversations shaping Ghana's economic future. You have to register now, www.ghanaceo.summit.com. You can call them on 0546-391-970, 0546-391-970, or email info@ghanaceosummit.com. And this is powered by CEO Network Ghana in partnership with Deloitte, PwC, EY, or Ernst & Young, Margins ID Group, KGL Group, GIPC, SIGA, University of Ghana Medical General and Multimedia Group. The 10th Ghana CEO Summit and Expo, a decade of leadership impact, a future of possibilities. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Accra is
Again, let me take this again. All right, Accra, if you are thinking of how to make this Mother's Day truly special, you've got to listen. Achimota Retail Center is bringing you something exciting this May with your May Supermom celebration. And trust me, this is one mom will absolutely love. Now, on May 10th, you can treat your mom to a VIP experience package. Yes, a full day out just for her. With a little as 1,000 cedis, she will enjoy shopping, dining, pampering, photo sessions, and amazing rewards all in one place. So instead of the usual, why not give mom a complete experience, something she will actually remember? Now, here's what you need to do. You have to contact Linda on 024-747-1907. You can contact Linda once more again on 024-747-1907 for your VIP experience package gift vouchers, and you are off to give your mom a super treat. Head of retail Achimota Center, get involved and make this May all about people who matter most. Achimota Center, they say, eye vibe in kwan. Ghana, are you ready? Get set off for Africa's biggest athletes spectacle, the 24th Senior African Athletes Championship, coming in live to Accra. And from 12th to 17th May 2026, the University of Ghana Sports Complex, Legon, becomes the battleground where Africa's finest champions go head-to-head in thrilling track and field competition. World global stars like Beatrice Chabet, Faith Kipyeong, and Tommy Ogbin, as well as others. Now, what you need to do is the 24th Senior African Athlete Championship. You have to feel the heat. Champions within Africa, powered by the Ministry of Sports, Recreation, Federation of African Athletes, and Ghana Athletes. Be there, feel it live, witness history, and you've got to feel the heat. All right, so we continue with our conversation, Kofi. We've got like some few minutes to wrap up the conversation here on Masterclass. And I just want you to tell us about the role government should play and, of course, regulators in this space in helping to deepen local private equity participation.
Okay. Thank you very much. As I mentioned, the reason why the transmission of institutional long-term capital from pension funds and insurance funds to corporates in Ghana is because the transmission mechanism is broken, and right now we're doing it through government and banks as intermediaries. There's a demand side problem, which is from the corporate side, and there's a supply side problem, which is from ours. The supply side problem is being solved. So the regulators, primarily being the Insurance Commission, NPRA, and Securities and Exchange Commission, are supporting the creation of funds that can provide this capital. Can they move a lot faster when funds go to them for application? Yes. Can they be more flexible in allowing expert institutional investors to take more responsibility for risk? I believe so.
All right.
But that work is being done. Where I think we need to do a lot more from the policy and regulatory side is on the demand side, is on the side of companies.
All right.
If it is easier for us to understand the accounts of a company, have more confidence in the profitability of the company, know that their auditors, et cetera, are doing the work at the level that is required, then it's easier for us to invest. Right now, if somebody wants to invest in a private company, pretty much they have to do the work from the ground up, because there is a level of lack of trust in what they see on the first pass, right?
Yeah.
So it has to be a lot more, things have to be a lot more transparent so that we can do it at scale. If regulation was insisting more on filing and on the accuracy of the information that is provided by corporates, it will be easier for us to make decisions.
Great.
And to move faster.
And we've gotten this in a message from one listener who just sent us this. And Gabriel Danso is asking, Masterclass, please, what's the difference between growth and profit? Because if your company is growing but it's not making profit, how will you benefit?
That's a very, very good question. This, like I said, our company did not make profit for quite a while, right? But that's also because we were funded. Okay, no matter what you do as a company, your activities are going to have to be funded from somewhere, right?
True.
And you're going to make a choice as to, do I want to be large? Okay, in which case you're going to continue to invest in the company, or do I want to be profitable? Right? That choice is always being made. And for a lot of companies, if you want to get to scale, you're going to have to continue to fund that scale, right? If you're very profitable, you can fund it internally.
Okay,
so I'm making profits. I'm taking those profits. I could give it to my shareholders, but instead I'm putting it back in the company. So that's a profitable company using internally generated funds to grow. But if the growth is very aggressive, right, then it is possible that that growth outstrips profitability, in which case, at that point in time, you need external capital from institutions like ours.
All right.
So you can grow, not be profitable, fund that growth with external capital, with the idea that you want to get to a certain size before you start generating profit. There are some companies in some industries where scale is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Especially if you're going to invest in a large manufacturing facility. Once you have made that investment, for the next 4 or 5 years, you're running losses because you're depreciating the asset. You're growing sales, right? But that's part of what it takes. It's because of the large fixed costs, you're not going to be profitable for some time. It's called the J curve, by the way, where you run losses for a while until you get to the scale level where now the profits make sense. So those are explicit decisions that companies have to make. It shouldn't be by accident that, oh, this year I didn't run a profit and it's because of growth. No. It has to be intentional because you have to fund that activity.
And I guess, Dan, so you've been answered. Your question has been answered.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up the conversation, for you, how important is it for private equity firms to collaborate with regulators and even banks to ensure that this works?
It is extremely important that the entire financial ecosystem works together. Regulators are they create the enabling environment for us. And the more enabling the environment is, the better, right?
Mm.
Historically, if you looked at the stock exchange, for example, most of the investors were small individual investors, okay? And so the SEC had a certain stance. We have to protect them. Now that a lot of the investors on the stock exchange are institutional funds that have capacity and have expertise, the SEC should start looking at things a little bit differently, right?
Yeah.
And to separate how an institutional fund approaches investments from how a retail investor approaches investments. There are different kinds of capacities here. And so the SEC, for example, has to look at that difference in the way it regulates. Okay. But all of that is in the regulation space, and they need to work with industry to create that enabling environment. For banks, there's always a role for bank capital. There are certain kinds of funding where banks play an excellent role. If you're going to do anything that's a project that's going to return the money in 6 months, a year, 2 years, banks are perfect for that, right? Trading, working capital, inventory, those kinds of things are really good for bank financing, right? And if it's something that's a little bit longer, then you look at debt or equity, depending on the kind of project it is and the comfort the company has in either allowing other shareholders to come in. Mm-hmm. That's where you get equity, or taking it as a borrowing. Because they just want to keep the ownership themselves. Then debt comes in.
All right. And Kofi, sincerely, I want you to do this for me in a minute, if you can wrap the entire conversations we've had on equity, private equity, largely in Ghana.
Okay. So the key thing that I want your audience to take away is that this country has significant institutional capital, which is the savings of the nation, in both pension funds and insurance funds, okay? That money has historically gone primarily to government in the form of government debt or to banks in the form of fixed deposits.
Mm.
There's an opportunity for us to remove those intermediaries, not because they're not doing a good job, but because a more direct transmission mechanism to a company means less cost and more alignment in the capital versus the need of the company. That has to happen at scale. It requires that we, as institutional investors, invest more in private equity and private debt. And that's what GVCA, the Ghana Venture Capital Association, is supporting and promoting. That's why we have the compact with pensions and insurance that GVCA has put together, of which Petra Trust is part. So that's important on our side. On the side of companies that need investment, every company requires funding.
Okay?
Absolutely. And companies just need to prepare themselves to receive funding by making sure that they have the right governance, they are operating according to really good principles,
right.
They're keeping the right financial records, and they are showing their true profitability.
Very well. Thank you very much, Kofi Fane, the Managing Director of PetroTrust Company Limited, unpacking all the issues we need to know here in Ghana with regards to private equity as we unlock the domestic capital for growth. And of course, we talked about local pension funds, insurance capital, indigenous investors, and largely how we can deepen local participation. Mr. Fane, thank you very much for gracing our studios here on Masterclass once more, and we sincerely appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Pius.